Fun call this meeting to order, please.
Hi, stranger. You must be lost.
Here, we have a quarrel. Any audience participation?
I see none.
Okay, we'll move on to the minutes, the January 23rd minutes, 2020. Do we have a motion?
Motion to approve, Marazzi.
Second by Hairston.
All those in favor, respond by saying yes.
Yes.
All those opposed? We'll move on to staff reports. If you look at attachment 3A, financial progress report first.
Thank you. So as you looked at attachment 3A, you'll see we spent about 42% of the budget through January 31st. Anticipate being able to spend more of that as the spring ramps up. We're having, as you remember, we hired PMG to do our PCIs for our roadways. That work is underway now and continues to be underway through the spring, so that should help move that budget closer to full. But we're in very good fiscal standing, and I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Seeing
as there's no
questions, let's move on to technical report. Wait,
I think
we
need a motion. Oh, I'm sorry. Sorry. I'm moved to approve. Thank you. Second one. Who made the motion?
Quiet.
Sorry.
All those in favor,
say aye. Yes. All those opposed? Say no. Sorry, I'm used to the aye and not the yes. Okay, move on to technical report.
All right. So I guess the biggest thing, I talked to the mayor beforehand about this that we wanted to talk about, and I know that we're probably feels like beating a dead horse, but kind of about the coronavirus. First of all, I think from a transportation perspective, there is a chance that there is infrastructure funding possibilities as part of a stimulus. We've seen some discussion of that at the federal level, so that would be a positive. However, also, we're getting a lot of guidance from both City of Akron and the state and ODOT who are telling us to be prepared to allow our boards to make decisions potentially remotely if there is, for some reason, a large-scale quarantine or some sort of non-essential shutdown. AMATS is also in a DAS facility, a state DAS facility. So if there was where parole visits happen and all this, so if DAS did decide to shut down or close, our staff could be impacted by that as well. And as you guys know, this is like a very, every day we hear a new thing, right? And so it's not about whether we agree with it or don't, or I think the reality is that it seems like the state of Ohio is taking a very aggressive response. And so obviously I think one of our jobs was to think about how we, AMATS as a board, would function if, for some reason, in a worst case scenario, you know, because as far as we know, federal guidelines are staying the same. We have to approve a TIP in May, you know, so that we can have it all completed by the end of June so that you guys can spend your money in 19. And so, and Mayor Clark and I had discussed, we wanted to just bring that to the board's attention and find out, you know, was there any thought or comfort level to, if so needing in case of emergency, having some kind of, I say online voting, but what I really mean is we'd probably send you a ballot, you know, for your community. You would vote on the items and send it back and give people like a week. Again, this is like worst case scenario, but I think, or if there were other ideas of how to handle it, we were just trying to think of ways that if for some reason in May we were unable to meet due to whatever the state may decide, that would be one option. So I guess I was just looking if there was any, or if there was a motion to do so, or I wanted to get some feedback from the board.
Can I address that? Mm-hmm. I don't know. I just came in this morning and or this afternoon listening to BBC, and the World Health Organization has declared it's a pandemic, and that's pretty serious stuff. So I think we ought to be prepared for this. I know we had a meeting last night with our council and fire and EMS. I don't know how many folks around here have had meetings, and they're prepared. And we got a email from the emergency preparedness in Portage, and I assume Summit's doing the same thing. So I think we ought to prepare for the worst. hope for the best. I think we ought to do this, if we can do it by email, you know, download our ballots or however you want to do it, and just be ready to do it. Because it may be we have to quarantine.
Yeah, I think you were saying you can mail it and do that thing. A post office will be one of the first.
Oh, I mean through email.
Oh,
so we would provide like a Word document that you could either do online.
Is that what your intention was?
Yeah. Sorry, not snail mail. But
snail mail is not going to
be one of them. Claudia?
Do we know we would be permitted to do that?
Well, it's a really good question because, and actually I need to look into it more. This really just kind of has come up in the last couple days. I know, like, technically the state of Ohio does not acknowledge metropolitan planning organizations. Like, what our board is basically, like, you know, as some of you know, or, you know, how we're technically City of Akron employees and they're our fiscal agent. And so I know, like, with the agencies like ours that are COGs or regional councils, they are not allowed to do some of those things online, but technically we're a part of a city and we're an organization that exists only through ODOT bylaws and agreements and contractual agreements. So we would obviously research to find out to make sure, but I think because of our standing, I would think that that wouldn't be necessarily an issue. And then the other thing is that we'd reach out to our partners at ODOT at the central level and they were the ones that suggested trying to do that, so it would be making sure that, you know, we're doing it in a way that's best we can. And honestly, I really think by May, I mean, total personal opinion, that hopefully this will be, you know, more like we'll kind of have gotten through the worst of it. But I just wanted to let everyone know, you know, if you got emails from us saying, hey, we might not have the May meetings, that you'd at least understand where our heads are at. But that's a good question, Claudia, and we would confirm that before we would officially recognize those actions.
Yeah. Well,
sorry.
I think we also should prepare for next winter. You know, it might stop in May, but it might pop up in, you know, fall or winter. So I think as a board, we should take some steps to.
We are meeting every other day, but we're investigating that same point,
okay,
which you just mentioned about public meetings.
Yeah.
We want to find out if it's because of the governor declared a state of emergency.
Right. Could you
can we
fall
now
under
just,
that?
You know, mm-hmm. do something as an alternative to having everybody show up at a meeting?
Yeah.
Well, with technology, you could do a Skype in
call. Oh, we could. We absolutely
and roll
could.
Call on the computer mm-hmm. and
yeah.
Carry and sit there and do the.
Right, and I thought the way it would work is we would send, you know, one ballot to all, say, three members and alternates of Hudson, and we would just expect one ballot in return, but we would only count one ballot and those votes on the ballot. And I mean, and really, as you guys know, when we get to this point at the board level, most of our approvals are perfunctory. I mean, we've gone through the process. You know, you've seen the TIP 3-4 times before we're asking for final approval. So I don't think we would intend to take anything ever controversial to the board in this state. It was just looking for, you know, is this something that we would be comfortable doing if so allowed and so able?
Chris, I don't think it's necessarily the nature of the topic that mm-hmm. you address. As I understand, the issue is the public participation.
Mm-hmm.
And as I understand, that's where the focus is on whether or not we're compliant with state law. But I get what you're saying in terms of this. Composition of this group is sort of a quasi,
mm-hmm.
you know, perhaps a little different standard than the municipality itself.
Right. Yeah, and I think that's another thing that we'll be working with ODOT on, because we were kind of told with the STIP TIP public involvement process, which starts at the end of March and early April, is that going to go on as planned? And you know, you'd like to expect that the feds would work with us on guidelines, understand the situation, but you kind of have to prepare for everything.
I was told today that those are considered critical mission items and they would be proceeding
mm-hmm.
as planned, those public meetings.
So I guess if I'm taking a temperature of the room, most people would be acceptable in case of an emergency to doing something via online if able and legal, correct?
Yes.
Okay.
So do you want a motion to that
I'd become more comfortable
I'll
with a motion.
I'll make a motion to that effect. Marazzi.
Second. Harrison.
All those in favor say yes.
Aye.
Yes.
All those opposed say no.
All right. Well, thank you. And again, we'll let you know, like, if for some reason our facilities close or if there's a non-essential. I mean, as important as I like to think I am probably non-essential. So. That's what they tell me. So, but if anything changes, we'll keep in touch and let everyone know what's going on. So we appreciate your flexibility.
Will you be preparing a policy statement that we can vote on?
Oh, like, yeah, like, not just here's the
not
item.
Not just do what you did.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we can do that.
Any other questions? Let's move along to C, AMAC's Federal Funds Report, Attachment 3C, Dave Clay.
Thank you. Nothing earth-shattering to talk about concerning federal funding. I did want to mention that in fiscal year 2020, there are still 11 projects that are in the queue waiting to sell. Now, here's what's real important about this. If by some chance they don't make it, we want to make sure they get into the new TIP. The new TIP begins in fiscal year 21. And if something doesn't, that's scheduled in fiscal year 20, doesn't make it, we want to make sure it gets transferred into the new TIP. A couple other things. The new projects are being programmed. I'm getting a stream of new PID numbers coming back, so that's good. If by some chance you don't have a new project programmed yet, please do so. The new fiscal year 2021-24 TIP is coming along. I have a second draft of projects that I'll be presenting to you in a few moments. And this Friday, March 13th, is a project review meeting at ODOT. So you should have received your project information forms and a schedule of when you're supposed to appear. So that'll be this Friday, March 13th. And the only other thing I wanted to mention is with STBG funding in 2020, we have about $1 million balance. In fiscal year 2021, there's a balance of almost $868,000. So keep that in mind if you have a resurfacing project or a phase of a project that you can advance into fiscal year 2021. There's probably room to do it. Nothing major, but if you have a small project, we could probably advance it. Plus, we'll have the carryover for 20. And that's all I have for federal funding. If there's any questions, I'd be glad to answer them.
Okay, moving on to old business, fiscal year 2021-2024 TIP, Attachment 4A, Dave Fillet.
Okay, thank you. Attachment 4A is the second draft of the fiscal year 2021-24 TIP. Now, I didn't put together the whole TIP because just to save paper and trees, because everyone knows how much I like trees. So anyhow, this is just table H3 and H4 and the transit table. And there will be one more final draft yet. The way this works is we kind of work with ODOT, and as the process moves along, we're kind of constantly tweaking it a little bit. And we're supposed to get another list of projects from ODOT, I believe, either this coming Friday or next Monday. And that'll be the last, that'll be the final list. There may be a little bit of tweaking with costs and such. But anyhow, table H3 is what I consider the AMAX projects. Those are projects that have our actual funding in them. And then table H4 is what's called state line item. These are projects that have federal money in them. They're important projects, but they don't actually have MS funding in them yet. And many of these projects in table H4 actually do blossom into MS projects. Like there's some that are actually where engineering or right of way is being started with safety money. So just look them over, look the projects over, especially the ones in your communities. And if you have any concerns, please give us a call. If there's any questions, I'd be glad to take them.
Could I have a motion, please?
So moved, Scott Miller.
Second, Glenn Brosker.
All those in favor respond by saying yes.
Yes. Yes.
All those opposed say no. Moving on to new business, resolution 2020-03, it's attachment 6A. Jeff Diane.
Resolution 2020-03 is a TIT amendment combined for Metro and PART to add several new projects to the year 2020. PART has been awarded recently over $700,000 in CMAP funds through the Ohio Diesel Emissions Reduction Grant Program for the purchase of 2 large buses. The total project cost is approximately $1 million. PART is also requesting that fiscal year 2020 of the TIT be amended to add the purchase of 1 other large bus using approximately $215,000 in federal funds. The total project cost is $519,000. The funds are derived from PART's share of Federal Transit Administration's fund designated for the MS area. In addition, Metro is asking that fiscal year 2020 of the TIT be amended to add a project for the maintenance and repair of its downtown Akron Transit Center. This project will use approximately $158,000 in federal funds. Those project costs $197,500. Funds are also derived from Metro share of Federal Transit Fund designated for the MS area. Last week, the staff recommended approval, and the staff is recommending approval of Resolution 2020-03. Are there any questions?
Could we have a motion to approve?
Paradise moved to approve.
Second.
Johnson.
All those in favor say yes.
Yes. Yes.
All those opposed, no. Moving on to resolution 2020-04, attachment 6B. Dave Blake.
Thank you. Attachment 6B is resolution 2020-04. This amendment adds 4 new projects to the current 2018-2021 TIT. I thought it would be nice to see these projects, so I made some simple maps. The first project is East Avenue in Talmadge. This is adding a two-way left turn lane to East Avenue between Community Road and the Portage County line. Engineering is expected to start in fiscal year 2020 using $1,984,500 in HSIP funds. And something I'd like to bring to your attention with this project is there's up to this point, there's no local money. This is being funded 100% by safety funding. And that is something new that ODOT has started doing in fiscal year 2020. So it's really a fantastic way to fund a project. There's it's the result of the gas tax that was passed. So anyhow, I
offered to pay.
So yeah, sure.
Yeah,
I did.
Yeah, it used to be a 10% match, and now it's. Now safety money is at 100%. The next project we're adding is in Barberton. This is a resurfacing project, Van Buren Avenue and West Waterloo Road. This is expected to happen in fiscal year 2020 yet, using nearly $616,000 in STBG funds. And the next two projects are on I-77 in Bath Township. This is widening. This is adding a new third lane in each direction. The first phase is from Gent Road to Everett Road. Engineering is expected to begin in fiscal year 2020, using $1.6 million in federal funds and $400,000 in state funds. And then continuing north, the next project is a continuation of the widening. It's from Everett Road to the turnpike, and that engineering is also expected in 2020, using $3.2 million in federal funds and $800,000 in state funds. If there's any questions, I'd be glad to try to answer them.
Could I have a motion to approve?
So moved, Brosker.
Second, Hamlin.
All those in favor say yes.
Yes.
All those opposed, no. Moving on to other business, development of Metro 10-year strategic plan, Valerie Shea.
Shows job and population density throughout Summit County. So the darker areas, the darker blue are job density, and darker red are population density. And then as it gets lighter, it's less dense. So part of the strategic plan is looking at, you know, different, one, this is not one size fits all. Our county is not one size fits all. We have to look at the different ways that we can provide mobility across the county in these different types of areas. And, you know, a big bus going down the street every 15 minutes is going to work great in some of these dense, more dense areas, but it's not going to work in some of the areas where things are a little more spread out. That's not to say we are not serving those areas. It's just to say we need to make sure we're thinking differently about how to do that. Our ridership, you can see here, we have seen a decrease since 2012 of about 6%. It's compared to the national average, about 8%. So, you know, the trend is down, which is not great. The silver lining is we're a little less bad than the rest of the industry, but our, of course, our goal is to be on the upswing of that. Where are we going? I mentioned we are in the midst of a ton of outreach. We'll be doing a lot more, which I'll talk about kind of at the end of the presentation, but we spent all day yesterday at our transit center talking to our riders. We got over 200 surveys for riders about what's working and what's not for them. We're doing public meetings, stakeholder meetings, making sure we're keeping our board informed and have their input as we go. So where is transit going? And we'll use this to kind of shape what our recommendations are as well. As I said, technology has changed, as we all know, in the past 6 years, that we're seeing different agencies partner with different types of mobility options, including Uber and Lyft, including bike share and e-scooters. So these are all options that are out there, so we're going to look at if those have a place in Summit County. We also see how those more dense areas are being served in different ways. So there's applications of bus-only lanes that might just be in, that might be all day or might just be on peak hour, using technology for transit signal priority so that the buses would get some additional green time to get through the intersection and reduce delays. So all of these things are going into our plan as well. I won't read through each of these, but these are just some 7 keys to success for that kind of traditional bus service in the more dense areas where that works. So if you want to have a traditional bus service work, these are the things that we have to make sure that we're doing so that things are easy and straightforward for our customers and easy and straightforward for folks who might not ride the bus now but would consider using it in the future for an occasional trip. So how do we get there? We will provide a step-by-step plan that has, again, both short and long-term goals. We're looking for opportunities to do early wins. We don't want the plan to sit on the shelf again, so as soon as we can start implementing some of the smaller recommendations that will come out of the plan, we'll do that. And then the plan will be incorporated into our budgeting processes for the following years to make sure that we are tying resources specifically to these action items that come out of the plan. So again, we're right in between the where are we now and where are we going phase. And there's lots of opportunities for everybody in this room to help. So we have an online survey. The link is here, and it's also on some flyers that are sitting outside at the registration table that I encourage you to pick up as you go out. I would ask you all to help get the word out about the meetings. I'd be happy to, if it would be okay with Curtis, to share this information via email with the group. We are holding a collaborative community transit workshop on March 25th. Which you've seen an email about, and we'll talk a little bit more about that in a minute. And, of course, you can always check out our website for more information. So, again, outreach events. We held our event yesterday at the Transit Center. We'll do another traditional evening public meeting at the library on March 24th, as long as the library is open. We are thinking a little bit differently about outreach this time around, too. So we're doing a series of events that we're calling Buses and Brews. So we're looking at both brews of coffee and other types of brews. But the point of this is, in addition to really making sure we're hitting our riders, we want to make sure we're talking to everybody in the communities. There are folks who might not have the time to take out of their evening to come to a 2-hour public meeting, but if they're sitting having a coffee on a Saturday morning or grabbing a donut on a Saturday morning or a beverage on a Thursday afternoon, we want to go to them and have those conversations. We were actually out in Stowe this morning. I had really great conversations with folks at the Corner Coffee House. We talked to about 40 different people, most of which who didn't ride the bus, and that was really great because that's the type of feedback we also need to incorporate. So there's a flyer out there, the same one that has a survey link on it, also has all the lists of these events on it, so I encourage you to come out and grab a brew and talk buses with us. And this is the flyer for the Collaborative Transit Workshop. So we are working collaboratively through AMAS and also with our partners at HARTA on this to do a regional workshop and convene all of the parties throughout Portage and Summit counties together, all the different municipalities, focusing on planning, engineering, and economic development folks to to talk about what the plans are in each of those communities and how transit can be a part of that. So I'll turn it over to Curtis maybe to say a few words if you want about this workshop.
Yeah, I was going to say the biggest thing is that, you know, right now the attendance skews heavy on the Portage County side of the arena. So Summit County folks, we'd love to have you. So please consider participating. But yeah, Valerie approached us with this idea, and really I think what we're trying to do, we haven't done one of these for a long time, but really having our members sit down and discussing kind of, I think, you know, we know that there's suburban needs versus rural needs versus urban needs, kind of highlighting each of those, putting people together that are familiar with those needs, and then trying to come up with some better solutions that maybe we can help, you know, actually implement. Luckily, those will dovetail into Valerie's plan, and I think dovetail into Parta's work as well. So we're excited about it. It's at the View in Talmadge. So venue. It's at the venue is the venue. In Talmadge, off the circle. It's a great place. So we're looking forward to everyone. And most importantly, there's a free lunch. So there's really no excuse not to come. And, oh, yeah, you can RSVP through our staff, Martha Chandler. She's the one that you RSVP with through our annual meeting as well. So
thanks again to AMATS and Parta for collaborating with us on that. We're really excited for that event. The biggest question that we're asking everybody is, where do you see Metro in 10 years, and where would you like to see Metro in 10 years? So any feedback that you can provide, any way you can help get our the word out about our outreach events, we would really appreciate it. And feel free to pick up a flyer on your way out today. Thank you for your time.
Yeah, the only thing I'd like to add before we adjourn is that if we do have a physical meeting here in May, there is a chance we might get moved due to issues with the Hilton and overbooking. There's a potential that we could be across the parking lot at the Goodyear Hall, in the old mahogany area offices over there. We will let you know if that occurs, but just, you know, keep that in mind. We'll be communicating with you guys. So I hear they've got a nice liquor cabinet with bourbon from 50 years ago and cigars. And
we can do brews, huh?
Yeah, bunches of brews, man.
Yeah.
So, second.
All right.
Aye.